Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Remember that photo that went viral last year of a Walmart donation bin for employees around Thanksgiving? It may be that many of the company's employees are on food stamps, too, in a cycle whereby they spend their SNAP dollars at the same business that pays them a low wage. Except that we don't know how much Walmart or any other business that accepts food stamps takes in from the program. That information is confidential, unlike direct government contracts. But that might soon change. Chrissy Clark from the Wealth and Poverty Desk at Marketplace reported earlier this year on a series called The Secret Life of a Food Stamp for Slate and Marketplace. Now the U.S. Department of Agriculture is considering making that secret life less secret. Chrissy Clark joins us now. Hi, Chrissy. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And it looks like your reporting may have had an impact in Washington, so that's always a moment to congratulate a journalist. But what isn't public exactly? What don't we know that we don't know?
Right. To quote a famous general.
A famous former Bush-era defense secretary, yes.
Right, exactly. So basically, I like to think of food stamps as kind of a subsidy, a government subsidy with two lives. You know, what we hear a lot about is the fact that 47 million Americans use food stamps, that we spend $76 billion on the food stamp program. But what we don't actually know is sort of once that money goes into people's electronic benefit cards and they spend that money, we don't know what stores are benefiting the most. We don't actually have a tally of, or at least a public tally, of which stores are getting the most food stamp revenue into their own coffers.
And since we're in a public comment period from the U.S. Department of Agriculture on this issue, listeners, let's take your comments on this here, too. Should the public know how much stores take in through the SNAP program? If you own a grocery store, a bodega, or a market, and you take food stamps, what would it mean for you if that information was made public? Do you care? 212-433-WNYC, food stamp recipients. Do you want it to be public information where not you as an individual, I don't think that would go out, but
no,
where people spend money from their SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also known as food stamps, where they get money gets spent? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for Chrissy Clark from Marketplace. So let's do what you did and follow the life of a food stamp a little bit. Last year, for example, the U.S. Treasury allocated $76 billion to the program altogether. And obviously that goes to people who use the money at stores, businesses like supermarkets and corner groceries and even farmers markets. And this includes big chains like Walmart and Target that sell food. So what were you looking for then that wouldn't seem self-evident?
Well, what I had heard a lot of actually during a lot of the fights over food stamp funding, federal funding for the food stamp program, you know, you would hear from advocates for low-income families that this funding was very important and this is sort of the first line of defense against hunger. But what you would also hear sort of more quietly and more privately when I would make phone calls to various stakeholders in the food stamp situation, I would talk to people who worked in the food lobby, you know, grocery stores and the retail industry, who would say, actually, this money is really important for us, too, because, of course, it is creating sort of a stimulus, especially in moments of economic downturn. This is lining the pockets of low-income people so that they have money to spend at our stores. So this is important for us. And I started wondering, well, how important are food stamp dollars for the retail industry? I called up the USDA, assumed that they would, you know, they track how much money they are reimbursing to stores when somebody swipes their food stamp card. And I said, so can you give me a spreadsheet of which stores are profiting the most? I just sort of want the numbers. And they said, actually, we can't do that. We don't make that information public. And I started scratching my head and saying, well, why is that? And they said, listen, this goes back many years. We have an obligation, as we see it under federal law, to protect this proprietary information that stores are sharing with us. But that question gets to the heart of a lawsuit that's going on right now, where there is a lot of debate about whether the federal government should be making this public or not.
It's a pretty fascinating moment in politics that you just laid out. I think that as Congress, if I understood you correctly, as Congress cut food stamp benefits or debated it, that there was a united effort from some of these large chain stores to say that this doesn't just hurt the people who use food stamps, it also hurts their business. It almost seems unseemly for Target and Walmart and whoever else is in this coalition to get together and tell Congress, hey, you can't cut food stamps because that hurts us, Walmart and Target. And yet I think it teaches us something indirectly, which is that if they think there's just going to be less money spent on food, then people are going to have less food.
Right. People are going to have less food, and that this is an important part of the economy. In fact, I spoke with Kevin Concannon, who's the undersecretary at the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and he talks about stories where he went to one of the large supermarket chains in Texas, HEB market, and the CEO of the store there took him through the aisles and pointed at employees, and he said, "These people, we can hire more workers here, and we can pay them more because of the food stamp program, because that is helping keep our sales up at a level where we have the ability to hire more people."
Or is it that they can hire more people but pay them less?
Well, that is the question, and I think that gets to this very interesting tension where, on the one hand, this money is flowing to stores and on out to, you know, that has a great economic ripple effect. But then what also I started questioning and wondering is, well, how much are workers at those stores actually benefiting from this? And that's sort of the other side of the story, is that many of the retail companies that make the most in food stamp dollars, that take in the most food stamp dollar revenue, also have significant numbers of their own workers on food stamps.
And this is a story that I've been amazed in recent years doesn't get more traction than it does. The idea that companies, especially major corporations that have deep pockets, paying so low wages to their employees that they are setting up systematically a subsidy for them, in effect, from the taxpayers, so that Target and Walmart and, you know, pick your company, where not only might the employees turn around and buy food from them using the subsidy that they get from Washington, just the very fact that in order to do that, they are relying systematically on the government to subsidize, and that means the rest of us taxpayers in America, to subsidize their employees just to have enough money to get by. And that then you add on top of that this idea that affects their bottom line. These poverty wage employees of their own are then turning around with our tax dollars to give them more profits. It's an argument for raising the minimum wage because it puts the onus back on the private sector for private sector jobs.
And what you will say, I mean, it's funny when you start, I tell my friends that when I started to kind of follow the life of these food stamp dollars, it makes your head hurt because they start going in so many different directions and there's so many feedback loops as you're describing. But when you talk to somebody, a spokesman at Walmart, for example, I mean, what they will say is, listen, a lot of these workers, they were on food stamps already. They didn't sign up for food stamps when they got these jobs. In fact, getting this job at Walmart or Target or Kroger probably reduced the amount that they were getting in food stamp funding, in food stamp benefits, because they are making a little bit more money. So So, you know, so the counter argument is that, well, at least they have a job and we and this is sort of a starting wage and they can work their way up and eventually. And I did speak to many workers who started on food stamps at stores like Walmart, but then did or Dollar Tree and Family Dollar and did work their way up to make more money and cut up their food stamp cards, literally in some cases. But I think that the question is there's also a lot of workers who that doesn't happen to and who they are stuck in these poverty level wages. And as I as one worker I spoke to put it, she said, I work hard for my food stamps. And that's how she sees food stamps. It is a kind of piece of her income. And she is a full time working adult.
And so to that point, I think here's a 1 minute soundbite of David Tovar, who is vice president of communications for Walmart. From your reporting, you spoke with him, this Walmart official, for this series.
We're representative of the country, you know, in a lot of ways.
Including the country's growing rate of food stamp use, Tovar says, especially in the traditionally lower paying retail and service sector.
We would love nothing more than a day when, you know, you didn't have to have programs like that. But for now, with the economy the way it is, with customers continuing to struggle the way they are, I think it's really important to be able to help people along the way and give them, you know, relief during these periods of time.
Could Walmart or are there ever internal talks about let's make the retail sector one where people don't need to supplement their incomes with food stamps?
I think retail jobs are good jobs, and I think they give people a lot of opportunities. You know, the retail sector, I think, is always going to have entry-level jobs. It's really not where you start. I think it's where you end up.
Our guest, Chrissy Clark from Marketplace, speaking there to Walmart spokesman David Tovar, and this is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. It's New York and New Jersey Public Radio. And so, Chrissy, to that conversation excerpt that we played, he's saying there that Walmart takes in so much money in food stamps because the whole country does. Is he leaving something out or spinning something there?
Well, one point that I think is important to make, so according to the data analysis that we did at Marketplace, about this is based on state data from Ohio, about 15% or up to 15% of Walmart's employees use food stamps. And when I took that number to David Tovar, he said, well, about 15% of Americans use food stamps. So, you know, we are kind of in line with that number, and it makes sense. We're the nation's largest private employer, so it would make sense that we would have numbers that reflect the national average. Of course, the thing that's important to point out about that is that the 15% of Americans, that includes children, you know, elderly, disabled people are on food stamps when you look at the whole U.S. When you're talking about the percentage of Walmart employees on food stamps, you're looking at working adults. So it's not quite an apples-to-apples comparison.
And our next guest after you is going to do a whole conversation about lying with statistics. And so there's an interesting example of that, I think. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Doreen in Valley Stream, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Okay, thank you.
Good. My head's swimming listening to this. You know, I've never really thought about this. It's staggering, you know, the possibility for waste and abuse.
Here you are, but having a nice morning, beautiful day out there. Turn on your radio.
Sorry to ruin your day.
And we get you all angry.
You know, I'm a former accounting professional, so this is kind of like, you know, I just my mind is just in a wash. But I've got a couple of points here, and because of my jaundiced political views, I have to say that this reminds me of sharecropping, because you've got your employees buying from the company store. So, you know, it seems to be reminiscent of this. I mean, and in many cases, we are talking about the working poor. We're not talking about people that have never worked for a living. We're talking about people that are struggling, a la Aaron Reich's nickel and dime story. Mm-hmm. But I'm just curious about the lack of information. It seems to me that this should be something that is easily accessible. And I'm curious if a Freedom of Information Act can be filed on this to make this public record. It doesn't seem isn't Medicare and Medicaid and their list of providers easily accessible via a database?
That's a great question. Why couldn't you get this out through a Freedom of Information Act request, Chrissy?
So, very good question. Before I almost filed one until I discovered that a great journalist in South Dakota, Jonathan Ellis, had beat me to the punch. He filed a FOIA to get this information, and actually several journalists over the last few years have filed FOIAs to do that to get this information. And the USDA has consistently refused those requests. They cite this bit of federal statute when it comes to the food stamp law, saying that they are required by federal law to keep this information private, and so that trumps FOIA. But Jonathan Ellis and the Argus Leader, his newspaper in South Dakota, took it to court, and that the litigation is ongoing. A federal judge has agreed on some of the points already, but there are several pieces to the lawsuit. But so far, it looks like the USDA might be told you do need to turn this over, and that's actually part of what the public comment was sparked by, was some of the scrutiny that has been put on this through the lawsuit, through reporting like the series that we did.
Doreen, thank you for your call. So before we go to the next caller, tell people how they can actually participate in the official public comment period besides calling the show.
Right. So the USDA, let's see if I have it here. So they have until September 8th to file a public comment. And if you go to the USDA's website, I don't have the actual email address mm-hmm. here, but you can get information on exactly how to file that comment. And they'll be getting a lot of comment from retailers, from folks like David Tovar and Walmart. And they are also looking for just everyday Americans who have feelings one way or another.
Just about whether it should be made public, what
exactly
stores take in revenues from food stamps.
Exactly. And one thing that is interesting to point out, you know, going back to the clip that you played from David Tovar, another thing that I think is worth thinking about is, you know, he talks about how these are starting wages for workers at Walmart, and if you work your way up, you maybe can get to a better place. But There was a time not that long ago where even starting wages at some of the nation's largest employers were ones that did not set you up to need food stamps to supplement your income. You know, back before Walmart was the nation's largest employer, General Motors, GM, was the nation's largest employer. I actually spoke with a young man named Adam Hudson who worked at Walmart, and he mentioned that his father had worked at General Motors back in the 90s, and his starting wage was $9.35 in the early 90s, which was more just in non-inflation adjusted wages than his son's starting wage 20 years later.
So you're saying something has changed in America, because generations ago the major employers hiring unskilled workers, and I think that's the parallel there. I'm assuming that person's
right,
father,
no college education.
Right, was hired for, you know, an assembly line job basically and
exactly
trained how to do it. That the ethic at that time was the big companies were going to pay a living wage, to use a specific political phrase, and that doesn't happen anymore.
Right. And part of it has to do with the shift that we have had in this country from a largely manufacturing-based economy to a retail economy. And retail has – or and a service economy, which is largely driven by retail. And retail has always paid much lower mm-hmm. than manufacturing.
Right.
But I think the question now is – should that change if that's what the bulk of Americans are doing?
212-433-WNYC. And Paul on the Upper West Side, you're on WNYC. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
All right.
Well, I thought I would say, first of all, food stamps are not lining people's pockets, as you can see. They're decreasing it, and they're probably going to try and do away with it eventually. And we are in the age where every piece of information, everything you do, is being aggregated and collected. So this is not a shock. So there'll become a day when everything has to be done with
a
car.
And you told my screener you're a former supermarket employee.
When I was a kid, I worked at Pathmark. Everybody used food stamps. It did not make my life any better. It wasn't my business where the boss was getting the money from. You know, I got paid minimum wage, and whether food stamps, cash or check, my till had to even out at the end of the day, and I didn't get the profit sharing. And Walmart employs people with food stamps. So, you know, people working at Walmart are probably on food stamps. So, you know, is this really a valuable effort? We really should find out what hospitals are taking in all the cash from the federal government. And, you know, that's a much bigger job. But, yes, eventually we're going to be tracked for everything. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Paul, thank you very much. What's the argument that the companies make, Chrissy, about how they would be harmed if the information were to be made public about how much revenue they take in from food stamps?
Yeah, they say it, in some ways it's kind of a trade secret. It's information that sort of shows how they're going to market, as they put it. You know, David Tovar said if a competitor knows how much money we're making at a particular store at a particular address in a particular neighborhood from food stamps, then they'll plant their store right across the street because they think that this is a good, you know, this is a good place sort of demographically right. to serve a population. So they see it as just one of many pieces of data that is helping them figure out how to run their business.
So if one of Walmart's competitors finds out how effectively Walmart is marketing to poor people, basically, to sell them food, then this may put Walmart at a competitive disadvantage. That's actually their argument.
Yeah, I mean, they don't go quite to that level of granularity, but they basically say this is information that has to do with, you know, we don't share our revenues in such detail. They want to keep some of their books private because that helps them make business decisions.
Luis in Westchester County, you're on WNYC.
Yeah,
Hi, go
hello?
Ahead. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing, sir? My name is Ellis L. Center. I'm a farmer in Westchester County, and I grow multiple produce systems. And about the whole food situation, it's broken. I grow about 60 acres of mixed vegetables and crops and some meats. And if the government really wanted to supply food to the poor, they should set up like a CSA or some type of program that the money goes directly to local agriculture or even a mid-sized agriculture, and that money goes to the food actually ends up going to the poor. Therefore, they're growing, and then there's no, you know, sidetracking.
It's hard, though, because CSA, as great a thing as CSA, community-supported agriculture, is – it's not there at a mass enough scale that they could, you know, bypass stores, right? People still have to be able to spend their money at stores to buy food,
well,
don't they?
Well, I understand, but here's where you have the problem. The problem is, you know, you have this money that comes from taxpayers, and it goes to corporate America. Even if the government contracted a duration of particular time to produce food. So, for example, I went to a farmer's market in New York City, and I'm sitting there on the side, and I see tons of people walking right by my stand, and they're going to the bodegas, they call them, I believe.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And they were going in there and giving the fresh farm produce stamps that was only designed for farmer's markets. So now, you know, of course, there's a lot of shady dealings with that of, you know, where they can deposit that money or where that money can actually go to the actual farmer themselves. So what you take Walmart, you get all this money, you know, they got them poor. There's so much food that's wasted that, you know, if they just contracted with smaller growers or even mid-sized growers, I mean, there's a tremendous amount of food.
What do you think could be done? Do you have any ideas, Luis, what could be done to increase the number of CSA groups in low-income communities, let's say around the New York City area, to make people more aware of them so there'd be more of this direct, you know, purchasing from farmers, which is, of course, good for the buyers, too, because it's cheaper than going through the stores, going into more communities?
Well, here's what you do. As a grower, you come to the grower, the government goes, okay, Ludow Center, I want you to grow these three or four different products. You sit, let's say, corn, tomatoes, and melons, for example, and let's say you do something else. You sit there, and they go to that particular grower. There could be four different growers within that area. And you'd be surprised on how much produce can come off of particular types of acreage. And then, you know, so you can pick the actual quantities. And what you do is you take away the food stamps, and you actually give the money directly to the farmer. The farmer shows up with product at a particular designated time, and, of course, there's obviously seasonable reasons and issues. And then you go to the inner city, and I said, you know, I could sit there and say, okay, well, there's no price arguments. There's no, like, okay, well, they have a $2 food stamp or a $4 food stamp. And then they're like, you know, they don't have other choices. They go to these four different farmers. There's four different people producing corn. Wow. There's four different people producing this.
And I'm going to leave it there for now, and I really appreciate your input. Then, of course, you're taking away a lot of choice from a lot of consumers who happen to be poor. So, well, there's another complexity. But Chrissy Clark from the Wealth and Poverty Desk at Marketplace, we're just about out of time. I'll tell people that we're putting the link that you described on our site, so people can post a comment that goes directly to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which has this open comment period from now until early September, on whether the revenues that stores take in from food stamps purchases should be made public. You can tell the government yes or no and why that's your opinion. And part of this is happening, I think, because of the series done earlier this year by Chrissy Clark from Marketplace for Slate and Marketplace that revealed some of how major employers like Walmart and others depend on their low-income employees spending their food stamps at their store. Chrissy, good reporting. Thank you very much for sharing it with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, in the era of big data, beware of big data lies and errors. We will talk to Pomona College economics professor Gary Smith. Stay tuned.